Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Finally have a cabinet, right? Individuals who are going to conscientiously maintain their responsibilities and lead and take care of the ministries they've been appointed to. I use that word deliberately because it came up in a lot of social media videos alluding to many ministers who are being sworn in today to essentially take on the role and function of leading the nation and providing clarity, policy formation, and the necessary partnerships in creating a conducive environment to lead South Africa forward. One person who knows all about this and has worked within government through National Treasury for many decades, actively participated in initiatives with our international partners, aiding, facilitating the growth, the partnership and ongoing investment in South Africa and beyond, and also having a seat on the other side as a member of the private sector. We join now by the chairman of the Government Employees Pension Fund. Joining us in that capacity today is Dondo Mokgojane. Such a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Thanks, Google. Thanks for having me, and good afternoon and good evening to Kaya listeners.
Thank you. It's always exciting to have these conversations with you because you provide a very refreshing perspective on the themes that we do need to focus on. One key priority that you live by, I guess, is, of course, the economic advancement of South Africa. And we certainly need to see a revitalization within our economy, especially under a government of national unity. This is new territory, and I'm keen to understand from your observations and your experience what you believe needs to be tackled by this government of national unity, including key cabinet members and institutions to drive the growth we need in South Africa.
Thanks, Google. You know, the key, you mentioned two important things, economic advancement and revitalization of the economy. I mean, if you only look at those two things, I was trying as part of my background reading, just refreshing myself as to what political parties say in their manifesto. When you look at all of them, it's about jobs, about ensuring that poverty is addressed, it's about growing the economy, investing in infrastructure, etc. Yeah, at least there is some focus there that is being there's a focus of where it should be going. But I just want to mention one thing. It's important how the system of delivery is structured to ensure that there's economic inclusion, that to ensure that government departments and do what they have to do. So, and there's a lot of thinking that must go in. Maybe they need to relook at how the government systems of administration, systems of delivery is structured. So, cluster system,
yeah.
The economic cluster, functioning, you know, and for me that's key, and we have to focus on that, and we have to ask ourselves big questions as to how do we gear ourselves up as a state for delivery and for ensuring that the government of national unity works to the advantage of South Africans.
100%. Ntate Mokgojane, we're going to actually try to get a hold of you on the phone line. Our Zoom connection is failing us slightly as it fades. So do bear with us. We will call you on your direct line in just a moment to make sure we can continue this conversation. But if you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Dondo Mokgojane, who is the chairman of the Government Employees Pension Fund. He's joining us in that capacity this evening as we reflect on the announcement that has been made around our Government of National Unity Cabinet. And overall, as we've reflected on this past Monday, key measures within the financial cluster to maintain a level of calm, continuity and sustainability, with the return of the Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana taking care of National Treasury. To build up on this theme now, Dondo, we've got you back on the telephone line, so I'm hoping that this does work a lot more clearly. Thank you for your patience with us. You built up on such an important theme is, of course, making sure that we're looking to make sure that the politics of the day don't intercede and intercept with the politics. And I think this is important because, as we've already witnessed from a provincial point of view in Gauteng, there's been a lot of challenges, and quite clear that there isn't a sense of comfort or unity that might be represented from a political front. How does the GNU cabinet need to ensure that they avoid this crossheads or butting heads on policies that are critical for the economy by avoiding the politics of the day?
Now let's look at what worked in the early days of democracy. If you look at what worked in the 90s, 95, 96, 97, those years, at least up to 99, Google, you had functioning join committees. When I say join committees, I'll name a few. As an example, you have things called min-max. Okay, min-max is simply a minister and MEC. You've got a minister in national government and an MEC. If it's ministers of finance, minister of finance with his 9 MECs, minister of health with his 9 MECs. And then you have some things used to be called joint min-max, meaning there'll be a min-max for education and a min-max for finance. And, you know, then you had obviously joint committees. There were things called 4x4s. I'll explain what it is. 4x4 for health, for instance. There'll be 4x4 for transport, 4x4 for education. It will be a minister at national level, okay?
Okay.
A minister plus, say, the minister of finance and his 3 MECs. There'll be 4. And it will be a minister of health and his 3 MECs for health. It will be 4 on each side. These are sectoral-based committees, and then you have 10 by 10. 10 by 10 will be 9 MECs for finance, as an example, and the Minister of Finance making up the 10, and there'll be 10 MECs for education, and the Minister of Education being 10. What that did was to force engagement between various sectors and the center, which is the finance center of government, because the treasuries, including 9 provincial treasuries, would play that role. So those joint financial clusters, for instance, call them that for now, were functioning. There was something also that's called the Presidential Coordinating Council. It's the president and the 9 premiers. Mm-hmm. Now, the agenda of these joint min-max, the agenda of the PCC, the agenda of various other committees that they said, was effectively working. If you think about the successes, how we came to finalize the PFM in the late 90s, how we came to finalize the Municipal Finance Management Act, including all the reforms, financial reforms of government, including budget reforms that we introduced, they were born of these engagements and the successes in our early democracy. And remember, let me remind again, the early democracy was made up of INCAT on one hand in KZN, and you had Western Cape controlled by at the time was the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you had the ANC. So, in a way, even though it was not as elaborate as it is today, the GNU, but there was some GNU of some kind. And it worked because the intergovernmental system was working. Final point in your question,
sure,
is the role of oversight committees of parliament, both at provincial level and then both at national level. I'll only speak about finance, which obviously I was part of. There's something called the Select Committee on Finance in parliament. It's there. There will be a select committee of police or portfolio committee of police in parliament. Now, how do these play their role in terms of overseeing the functioning of departments and the delivery mechanisms and systems of departments is of crucial importance. So, firstly, let's get all of those institutions back in place and the functioning thereof before we go to the economic cluster, before we go to various clusters that ensure delivery, because there must be cross-check. The DA must keep check of what the ANC is doing. The ANC must be kept on check, but the PA must ensure that, so that there's coordination of activity and coordination of addressing services. This is now in terms of how I think these things should be started. It works in the early days. So someone in currently must really re-look at those mechanisms and institutions to ensure that they function. Then we look at then what is cross-cutting across all these departments, so these political parties. About jobs, what is the program for jobs? What is the program for youth unemployment to address youth unemployment? And then it has to be equally, adopted by all of these various parties. If it's about improvement of school sports, Minister Gayton McKenzie should be able to look at school sports and include townships. When we grew up in the early days, I used to play soccer in my early days when I was in high school. There was something Google called. We knew on Wednesday afternoons and Friday afternoons. The Coca-Cola at the time, and I'm advertising them for free now. Coca-Cola used to have a school's cup. We knew we were looking forward for Wednesday afternoon between us playing, in townships across, high schools and so on. School sport is dead right now. And I think, we need both the Department of Sport, the MEC for, the 9 MECs for sport, and the Minister of Sport should, in that minister, and min-max, as I explained, must function and choose what's critical to improving sports. I'm using sports as an example.
Yep.
at township level, at provincial level, at national level. So I think there's an opportunity to reset the button. And I think this government here must do that. They must talk among themselves and say, what, now that everyone is in place, they know their responsibilities, we know who the ministers are now, let's get to work.
Yeah.
Let's make it work.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because you mentioned so many themes, educating us on the 4x4s and the 10x10s, but most importantly, how the necessary reforms took place through the necessary levels of coordination. And as you say, it's time to work. And I think this is going to be very critical, because the momentum with which we act, the speed that we can implement these shifts and reforms, I'm assuming will prove to be very critical. 5 years seems long, but the truth is it's not too far off. And I'm keen just to get your thoughts on how quickly we do need to expedite some of the solutions that need to be implemented.
We don't have the time. We don't have time. I mean, I don't want us. I don't want to threaten what may happen if we don't address youth unemployment in our lifetime, at least in this round. It's critical. You go to townships, it's sad. So I think firstly, let's speed up our economic reforms. We've been talking about structural reforms for the longest of time.
Yes.
And these are obstacles that we know that are have to tackle the obstacles that really make sure that growth does not happen. You know, whether you look at product or service market environment, so that you can improve job creation and improve investments and improve productivity. Now, if this is in the center of the thinking of the current or the new administration, if it's about, let's rally around these aspects that will actually make a meaningful change in how the economy currently is performing.
Mm.
And you know, as I say, there was an article last week around structural reforms and Vulindlela. And fine, I mean, we can change the name for the sake of this seventh administration, and not call it Operation Vulindlela. Let's call it something else. But the reality is that it's about ensuring that reforms are implemented, ensuring that we actually, some people are talking about flexible labor markets, simpler tax systems, exchange, easing of foreign exchange in the environment I'm in now, easing of exchange control measures is going to be something that's critical, ensuring that, our rail infrastructure is improved, ensuring that we actually change the state of delivery. For me, that's key, and I think we know what needs to be done. The current or the sixth administration's economic cluster, you have identified what needs to be done. But the new cluster must simply take those, understand, and retrofit those issues in terms of what the new service, the seventh administration wants to be. And as I say, let's get to work. So, I think now you let everyone fold their sleeves. We saw the ministers today, they were sworn in, they look very smart,
Yes.
But they must then take off their ties. Let them rub the sleeves.
Yeah.
And let's get to work,
Indeed. Let them roll up their sleeves and get to work. Because you're right, today was a beautiful function and a lot of excitement that was shared by many of the ministers. But we do need to implement. What I'm so keen to also gauge your thoughts on, Dondo, is what we've often heard stakeholders raise concern about how the GNU needs to either speak to the market or act on the will of the people. And there seems to be this perception that the two are mutually exclusive. And I'm keen to get your thoughts on this, especially when it comes to the finance or the economic cluster, trade, investment and competition, small business development, national treasury, and of course, other industries that actually speak to economic development like energy and electricity. When it comes to policies here and the necessary reforms, what needs to be prioritized, and markets versus the people and the will of the people, are those two mutually exclusive?
No, you balance that out. Balance that out. You see, there's a myth out there that seems to suggest that why the market? Why do we care about the market? And maybe sometimes we should ask our colleagues in Treasury to explain their day-to-day functioning and what they do. Mm-hmm. Look, what is quite important, you must know that Treasury goes around and look for 20 billion every week to finance government operations. Mm-hmm. And it is the same market giving us the 20 billion every week in order to finance our operations. And if the same market is not trusting our story as a government, then it becomes a little bit of expensive to raise this money. So it's a relationship. If you go to a credit, if you are at a credit bureau, and I'm simplifying this, and some of my my colleagues don't like me using the simplification.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a credit bureau and you want to buy a house or a car and you approach a bank, what happens? It becomes a little bit expensive, isn't it? They say, we don't trust you, we prime plus five or something.
Yes.
It becomes expensive. But if you are rich, if you're okay and you just want credit, what do? They give you prime minus. Unfortunately, market structures like that currently, I may not agree with how the market functions. People may not agree how the market functions, but that's the reality that a treasury official, a good mm-hmm. friend of mine, goes to the market every mm-hmm. week and looks for money. And when if it's expensive, it increases our debt service cost. It increases the cost of debt. The interest becomes very high. But if then, now people say, why do you have to satisfy? We're not satisfying the market. We just simply say there must be certainty in policy.
Yes.
There must be a responsible mouthpiece of the government. People in the government system must be acting in a way that they are believable in the story, believable in the certainty that they bring in taking the economy forward, including policy formulation.
Mm.
Now, you're not doing that for the market. If you say we are going to address poverty, it's important. We are going to ensure that black economic empowerment thrives. That's not negative for the market. You should embrace that.
Mm.
But if you go around and be reckless in your statements, reckless in the way you view the market, or in the way you actually chop and change your policy framework, then you have a problem. Because then the market will not believe you. Your story will not be believed,
yep.
And then it becomes expensive for you to raise debt. And debt, unfortunately, is part of our life. We go to market, and the simple explanation is that SARS does not collect money every day and put it in some bank account where the police needs to buy fuel, police needs to buy, the army needs to buy guns, needles must be bought at hospital. No, that money may be available, but not at the same time. So something must fund it.
Yeah.
From a cash flow point of view, I'm simplifying that so that people must understand that we don't worship here or worship the market. The treasury mm-hmm. or colleagues don't here and worship the market, but what they do, the reality is that the market can be, if it's negative, if you are viewed as a negative country, then of course it's going to be expensive, and then raising debt becomes very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
They will give you money, but it'll be at a high premium.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, keeping the debt service cost very low should be maintained, and that's a good fiscal policy stance that the Treasury must continue to embark on.
I'm so glad you highlight this, because a tangible example of how this, the level of certainty is required, but also meeting the needs of the people, is what we recently saw in Kenya with the protest action around the finance.
Oh, yes.
Zambia, another economy that constantly finds itself looking to receive additional capital from international markets, but at a very high cost. So your simplification is welcome, Mr. Mokgojane. Any chance that you might cross floors again or need some interns like myself to assist? I'm teasing.
No. I normally say people like you should go and dirty their hands a little bit into the real economy.
Oh.
I mean, into the real workings of government. I always encourage people in government that, look, I paid my dues for 23 years,
mm-hmm.
and I served the country with distinction and honor. I think many people should do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Go and have a stint and contribute and do your service to the South African people. Your skills and many other people's skills out there are needed.
Yeah.
Because it's a calling to work for government. It's a calling to be a public servant. Because there are many public servants out there, Google, who are committed to what they do, whether they are in the health department or in the police or whether in their treasury.
Mm-hmm.
There are many committed people. And I think at some point, you get a little bit tired, you get a little bit exhausted, and new ideas need to come. So I would say, go. We'll speak to Duncan Peters, the DG there, to arrange some internship for you so that you can contribute.
I'll call you for a reference, Dondo. Definitely.
Put my name there. Put my name.
I appreciate the vote of confidence. Always a pleasure speaking to you and helping us, really simplify some of these concepts that feel so far removed from us, but making them tangible again. Much appreciated, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Dondo Mokgojane joining us in his capacity this evening as chairman of the Government Employees Pension Fund. As you can imagine, a very important institution, because the public members of the public sector to make sure that they contribute to the employees' pension fund and security, safety, sustainability of our pensions and savings is what we want to maintain. But beyond that, also reflecting on his experience, having worked within National Treasury for over 20 years, and the key insights as to how best we can implement the necessary reforms through the cabinet of a GNU, coordination between various ministerial initiatives and positions, and most importantly, getting the job done. Momentum, right? I'm snapping my fingers because that's what we need. Yes, not going too fast to such an extent that we fail to see potential errors and mistakes that might occur, but ensuring that there is a level of commitment, sustainability, and certainty to what will be implemented.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.